Welcome to Session 3 of E281, the PDH online course on practical plant energy reduction. We were just finishing up on the utility energy usage study, summary. The advantage of the recommended energy usage summary is that it focuses your attention and that of your audience on numbers and our scope with limited commentary. It is necessary as the first step to answer the question, what can we reduce? Obviously, things connected to the electrical substation must be reduced to reduce electrical usage. You can't reduce electrical usage by simply reducing the voltage. Things connected to the gas meter must be reduced to reduce natural gas usage. As we build the plant energy balance diagram, we will begin to identify and label these things. Boxed item. Why not reduce the voltage to reduce electrical usage? Like a dimmer. Well, because for high intensity discharge lighting, that is fluorescent, metal halide, mercury vapor, all those, and motors, when you reduce the voltage, you increase the amps. Increasing the amps increases the line losses and produces greater energy usage. Sorry about that. It sounded like a quick fix. Now, we've got a sample trend chart, and I included this just to kind of get an idea what a trend chart looks like. The nice folks at PDH suggested that I make this available to the students, so it's on the website, and you can download this. There's nothing super keen about this. I could do better today, and you can do better, and that's the goal. This is just the starting point to show how you pull the columns off the summary and plot them. And that's exactly what you do. You cut and paste the production, the production usage, the production number, and the date. You put them side by side, and you highlight them, and you say plot it. And then you get a graph of production against month. And you can say electric usage versus month. You pull them off, put them side by side, say plot, and it does it. And with a little bit of fooling around, you can get the thing to record them all on the same sheet, show the production, the electric usage, and the electric cost. The hard part of this is getting the scaling right, because obviously dollars is not the same as thousands of units. So it takes some fooling around to get the plot to look right. It's very easy to plot the month versus production, month versus electric per unit. It's hard to get them scaled right so they show up on the same sheet. And it's a little questionable whether it's valuable. But we've got a sample chart to get you started. You can see what the thing's supposed to look like. It's supposed to show months as the horizontal and the variable of interest on the vertical. And it's very nice if you can show both production and electrical on the same sheet, even though it may require some scaling to get it to come out right. The good news is that Microsoft Excel does a fairly good charting job. It's built into it. You don't pay anything extra, and if you can almost eyeball the thing without taking a course on it. Again, put the columns side by side, highlight them, hit the chart button, and it leads you through the rest of it. Spend some time playing around with the charting options to find a look that communicates your message. Now, we're going to get into some of this author's message stuff. Do not let corporate graphics help you. They will explain that information presented at the executive level must follow their standards. They will not explain to you that last-minute revisions are impossible, and often you will not be permitted to see the finished product until you're standing there in front of the executive audience. Now, this is intolerable. In engineering, we keep changing things until the last minute. We've even had change orders during construction on projects, if you can believe it. So the idea that they have a lockdown a week before the presentation and you're not allowed to change it, well, that's just intolerable. We keep thinking for that week. We may even identify errors that we want to correct. We can't accept a graphics mandate that you can't touch it a week before it's presented. We've got to be able to touch it right up to 10 minutes before it's presented. And the other thing, and I've had this happen to me, and it is extremely painful, it becomes their slide, and they do it, and they get real protective of this and won't let you see it until they show it to the audience. Gatekeepers, that's the technical term for what they're doing. On the other hand, it's valuable to cultivate available staff skills and improve your own skills. Working with corporate graphics is desirable. Just keep ownership of the data and presentation for yourself. Be warned also that corporate graphics may attempt to charge labor and materials to your project. This can be discovered by talking to the project accounting group which handles your project. Now again, is this some off-the-wall thing? What does that have to do with making presentations on the result of your project? Well, it's anticipating a surprise and doing what's necessary not to have a nasty surprise. What I just said was, if somebody tells you you're not allowed to make a presentation to the executive level, it has to go through corporate graphics. They are a staff operation. Yeah, they get money, but they love to charge to other people's project. So you got this project to do energy reduction. You're going to make a presentation to the executive staff. They will charge their time and materials to your project for putting together the slides. Now, on one hand, this sounds reasonable, but that's not the way it looks when you see the billing. Their color printer needed a new toner cartridge just at the time your order came in, so you get to buy them a $500 toner cartridge because you had them make one slide. Now, I'm not making this up. This is the way the game is played. Anything they can farm out to a funded project, they have their overhead money they can use for stuff that's fun for them. And so they're going to try to load down your project. If they've got some really important work to do, but they've got no funding for the manpower on it, gee whiz, you may pick up 4 or 8 hours extra on your project that didn't really have anything to do with getting your slides done. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because when you got $20,000 taken away from your $100,000 project, it hurts real bad. If you know it's happening and you know you've kind of agreed to it and played the game and all that, that's fine. But if you're surprised when you were trying to rent a thermal imager and you don't have any money to rent the thermal imager, where did it go? Well, this is where it went. Be warned. That's not something that happens universally in every organization with every graphics department, but it's common enough that you should kind of expect it. And you know that when you're running a project, there's monthly billing on your project. I mean, that's when you turn in your timesheet, right? And where the contracts go for stuff that you buy on the outside. Well, there is somebody in accounting that keeps track of this, and you can get these summaries and see what's being charged to your project. If you're not already, it's worth pursuing early on in the project. What value is contributed by the trend charts? The value is that they permit you to grossly observe the plant response function to external variables such as production rate, climate, and totally unplanned events such as the power outage we were talking about in the example. As we proceed, we will participate in planned outages and observe the plant response function in closer detail and measure the losses of leaks when a department is offline. Now, that's a magic technique that just went by pretty fast. When they shut the plant down to change some piping, measure what's going on and try to figure out what's going on. You will find times when the plant is up but not in production. When the plant is up, the compressors are operating, but the machinery isn't, the production machinery isn't. Those are your losses. And it's going to be a big number. You're going to be surprised what it takes to keep the piping charged when nobody's drawing off of it. The most simple interpretation of the plant response function is linear algebra with a y-intercept and a slope. We're into a box again on what this plant response function thing is. Now, this is totally imaginary. Keep that in mind. It's a valuable imaginary. It's not a fooling around imaginary, but you don't plot this plant response function. There is a graph here which I will try to read to you. It's got horizontal axis and vertical axis, like a good graph ought to. Horizontal axis is plant monthly production in normalized units. And for this totally fake graph, I went 100, 200, up to 1300. The vertical graph is plant monthly energy usage in billing dollars. I say again, plant monthly energy usage in billing dollars. And there's two lines on the graph. One's called electricity and the other's called natural gas. And they intercept between $20,000 and $30,000. Well, what that says is with zero production, natural gas is costs about $20,000 and electricity costs about $30,000. Now, are these realistic numbers? Well, they're probably realistic for somebody, but they're completely made up for the purpose of this course. Why is there electricity of $30,000 if the plant isn't producing anything? Well, that's what your job is. Find out where the electricity is going that's not in the production process. And if it's justified, yeah, that's keen. But if it's not, you've earned your pay. Same thing for natural gas. Why does it cost so much to heat the plant when we're not building anything? Well, you know why that is, because it goes out the windows and goes through the roof. But this is telling you the value that you have for boarding up the windows and putting another layer of insulation on the roof, which are totally practical and genuine energy reduction measures. However, don't do something magic saying we're going to put 10 inches of insulation on the roof and expect to see a big number in your natural gas reduction. It depends on if this is actually where the waste heat is going out. And that's what we do at the front end of the study, is find out where the losses are so that we can spend our money intelligently to reduce them. By the way, let me answer this question. I mean, that's a fair question. Should we put insulation on the roof? Go up there with a heat gun. See what the heat coming off your roof is. And I'm not smart on this stuff. I'm not a roofing expert. Go around to a couple of buildings. Hell, go to the local college and go to the local high school and look at their roofs. If you find out that everybody's roof is running about 10 degrees above ambient, like it's 30 degrees outside ambient air condition, and their roof's running 40 degrees, you know, just by pointing the heat gun at it, but yours are running 50 degrees, you're discharging. Now, did that make sense? Yeah, it's going to be hotter on the inside and coming out from the roof. So if you have a 50-degree surface where everybody else has a 40-degree surface in 30-degree temperature, I mean, you're wasting more heat. There's more heat coming through your roof. Now, you do this with a heat gun. I mean, there's no magic in this. There's no taking a six-week course at the community college. I mean, you just measure what's going on and see if yours is a reasonable number or not. And whatever you come up with, you can spend money in reducing it. But is reducing it going to add up to your 5% that we're looking for? I mean, that's the question we're really trying to answer at this point. Now, let me step back to this. Are you losing too much heat from your roof? Look at it with a heat gun, an infrared thermometer. What's an infrared thermometer cost? Like the ones I look at are $50 with a laser. They've got a little cone that comes out from it, and it tells you how big an area are. If you're closer, you're measuring a spot, and if you're farther back, you're measuring an area. That's just the characteristic of the sensor. $50. Okay, now you can also hire a firm that's got one of these thermal imaging cameras, and they'll do the same thing, and golly, do you get beautiful pictures out of that. Now, what's the point of mentioning this? If you're just doing a study, you probably do want to spend the money on getting the thermal imaging, because all that's ever going to exist is the pretty pictures that somebody might remember. They're probably not going to remember the text. They're probably not going to remember the action items or the summary. But if you got a good picture in there, you may have communicated with somebody. Okay, and we've just talked about the generic linear plant response function with an example of climate component on roof insulation. But that is a real factor to look at. Boarding up the windows. Do you really want windows in your plant? I mean, They don't put windows in plants anymore. If you've noticed, all the old plants have them boarded up. If you've got windows, I guarantee those are heat losses. You are better off controlling your heat with exhaust fans and supply fans. Control your lighting with electric lights and board up the windows. Now, boy, we're getting off the subject here. You're going to run into these nuts that tell you you got to put in skylights. Them be nuts. Skylights are leaks. Skylights are so bad. But leadership and energy reduction, all that, oh my gosh, those people, stop talking about this. Okay, natural lighting is a great concept and a poor practical choice. A solid wall has less energy leakage than any kind of window. And we're looking for energy reductions. The plant response function is totally conceptual. It represents the idea that there are fixed energy usages regardless of production level. There are other energy usages, however, that vary directly with the number of units produced. An easy way to get a first approximation of the fixed energy losses is to monitor energy during idle periods, such as breaks for religious observances, shift change, shutdowns, and the restart cycle. Now, there's two parts of this monitoring. One is getting the metering gear in place, and the other is knowing what you're looking at after you recorded it. I was involved in building a plant in Mexico, and they have this Guadalupe Day where they shut down the plant, and yeah, of course you shut down for Guadalupe Day. Well, they do. We shut our plants down for, I've been a lot of places where they have a 10-minute shutdown because of a soldier killed in Afghanistan. I mean, really, people do this. Well, if you've got metering in place and you know what the metering is reporting, this tells you things about the fixed component of your plant response function. Now, the fact that I show this as a straight line is, again, conceptual. We don't much care about the response function. We want to understand it so we know what the fixed portion is, and we can identify it, and we can measure it, and we can go at reducing it. An implicit result of the columns kWh per unit and MBTU per unit on the summary is recognition that the plant experiences both good times and bad times. Using the good times as first order target helps us on focusing what is bad about the bad times that can be reduced. There are things we know about that we can change. Obviously, to achieve the promised ultimate reductions, we will have to move on to targets even better than the good times on historic trends. Let's talk for a moment about the project budget, and then we'll take another break. The sum of monthly electric charges for the year is an existing cost. A base implementation budget to achieve 5% reduction is 5% of that annual cost. 0.05 times annual electric cost is the amount you must spend on modifications to achieve 5% electrical savings. 0.05 times annual natural gas is the amount you must spend on modifications for natural gas savings. Now, this is a way of saying we're going to try to achieve a 12-month payback on the thing. And in my experience, these numbers are possible. I mean, it's not on a good day with the wind blowing the right direction. You can do this. With a reasonable effort in a reasonable direction, with reasonable cooperation, you know, reasonable labor rates, all that stuff, reasonably well-maintained plant, you can achieve a one-year payback on these things. Hiding the cost, authorized subterfuge. Now, again, let's put this into context. If everybody's playing the game fair, they give you money to spend, and they tell you, go out and do it, you go out and do it, and you take out contracts with people, and they do the installation, and you see the energy reductions. Well, a lot of times you do have to play games, and let's talk about that, and I hope it isn't your situation, but you've got some guidance if you need it. Please see if you agree with the reasoning thus far. You don't want to stick your hand into an energized piece of electric switchgear with a clamp-on meter. Do you agree with that? Don't want to stick hand into energized switchgear. If this statement is incorrect, you've already hidden a substantial part of the cost study. If you're going to go out and be your own technician, you don't have to pay for a technician. And it's a lot easier to schedule yourself than schedule either a maintenance person or a contract person. If this statement is true, however, you don't want to stick your hand into energized switchgear, you have to find an employee or contractor to stick his hand into the energized piece of electrical switchgear with a clamp-on meter. Finding an employee is not recommended because the metering we're discussing approaches illegal and assumes tremendous liability for the firm. Hiring a contractor, however, is legal and assumes very little liability, especially if you explicitly tell him to follow NET guidelines, International Electrical Testing Association, with a URL, netaworld.org. OSHA guidelines, Occupational Safety and Health Act, at osha.gov, and the meter manufacturer's instructions. Now, see what we did? We gave somebody else the job, and we told them be safe about it. Now, we're off the hook. Everything we said is be safe, and they signed a contract. They're going to be safe and follow all the rules. Hiding the cost of an employee doing it is fairly easy. His supervisor can provide an overhead charge account that hasn't been used much, and the work gets done. Hiding a contract with an electrical contractor or testing firm is much more difficult. Best bet is to use an existing blanket contract, that is a pre-approved labor rate for small jobs that the maintenance manager has signing authority on. Again, the scope statement must include follow NETA and OSHA guidelines and meter manufacturer's instructions. It's better not to be around when the testing is done. And I'm not going to discuss that, but I think you can figure out why that is. We are trusting the contract and the skill and ethical and all that of the contractor. Let's trust him. Writing a new contract for an unfunded project is extremely difficult. Now, again, we're talking the case where it's unfunded. Best bet is to find a funded project that is delayed and has a cooperative project manager. Again, we're working on the basis you have executive support and just lack funding. A phone call to the project manager from your executive champion may be all it takes to get things going. Okay, now we're ready to start talking about the plant energy balance, which again is a diagram, but it's an extremely powerful concept. And the diagram's easy. I mean, it's something you can do on the back of an envelope and get full value from. So let's come back after break and talk about that.